familiar scripture. Verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, they that are last, which shall be first, and they that are first, which shall be last. I know that's a familiar scripture, but would you notice this in verse number 23, Lord, are there many that be saved? Does he ever answer that? He doesn't answer that, does he? You know, I would say this. It ought not to be my concern how many are going to be saved. It ought to be my concern, are you saved? And that ought to be your concern. You know, it's not whether, you know, how many is going to be saved out of the group, out of the family, out of the church, out of the multitude, but are you saved? That's what Jesus is really saying, isn't it? So listen to these words. Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for I say unto you that many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. What's going to happen? The Lord's going to shut the door. That's what he says. The Lord's going to shut the door. So I'd like for you to just think about this. So the word strive, we might think about this, and I've thought about this before. It means to agonize. It means to wrestle. It means to struggle. But I'd like for you to think, before that happens, what's the writer? What's he got in mind here? He's got the games in mind. I believe he really does. You might say, well, no, I don't know about that. Well, I know that Paul does, and I'd like for you to think about this. The word strive also means this, to assemble together. So, a gathering, a place of assembly, a place for a contest, a place for a conflict, a place for a struggle. So can you see this? Can you see the games? That when the games come to Rome or to Corinth, the best wrestlers, the best boxers, the best runners from all over the world assemble. That's what we still do today, isn't it? When the Olympics come around, the very best come. So I'd like for you to just think about this. As I was praying, this scripture came to my mind, and I'll just read it to you, and maybe it'll help you to see where our thoughts are going. The Bible says this. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Are you saved? I know this, that when the Lord comes by with his word, there's going to be a gathering. And there's a gathering for a contest. There's a gathering. There's an assembling together. And the assembling together, now think about this. So the Lord is there. If you're going to be saved, it'll take the Lord to show up, won't it? It'll take the gospel. It'll take the Holy Spirit. But if the Holy Ghost shows up, if the Lord shows up, if the gospel comes, guess who else is coming? The adversary's coming. So if I'm going to the games, why would I even show up if there's not a contest? There's a contest, ladies and gentlemen. So where do they gather together? Strive to enter in at the straight gate. So there's an assembling together. Where do you think that is? We might say, well, it's down at the church. Well, that very well could be true. But part of the church may very well be saved tonight, right? We're not in that battle tonight. Not in that battle to be saved. That's what Jesus is talking about. So the battle to be saved, when there's a battle for your soul. Now think about how important that your soul is, that God the Father, God the Son, God the Word, God the Holy Spirit all shows up for the contest, and the devil shows up too. Where is that battle? Where is that place of assembly? I believe it's right here. It's in the mind. So I'd like for us to just think about that for a minute or two. Listen to what Paul says. And I realize this. Don't take me wrong. I don't mean to take anything out of context. But I want to read you a few scriptures. So listen to this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now he's talking to saved people right there. So if that is true for a saved person, how great is the battle for a lost person? Is the devil showing up to captivate our mind for a lost person? Can you see that? Can you see if I'm saved and there is a battle in the mind. There's a battle to keep the mind in check. There's a battle, and the battle is not fleshly. The battle is spiritual. And if you're unsaved, know this, that the gathering together, the assembly, where the wrestling goes on, where the match is at, is in your mind. There is where the battle goes on. So another scripture, he tells us over in the book of James, again, a very familiar scripture, but he says this, from whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not even of your own lust that war in your members? And you war, you lust and you have not, and you kill and you desire to have, and you cannot have, and you fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. Now, if I'm saved, and there is a battle in my mind and in my members, how great is the battle for the soul? How great is the battle and the gathering together of God Almighty, good against evil, however you want to look at it. And you know, I know tonight everybody says they're saved. But you know something? I know better than that. I know better than that. Listen to what the Bible says this. He says, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, to drink down. So I just want to think along this line tonight. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Now, when we gather together and God starts speaking to me, speaking to you, when God starts speaking to the lost, the devil is there. The devil is there. And you know what? I believe we could look at it on many, many fronts. But you know, I think about this. What does the devil say? Well, the devil says, well, what about your previous experience? You know, I think about that, whether it is a good experience or a bad experience. The devil brings that up. And here are people that are unsaved. And you know something? The devil says, well, you've already had an experience. There's no worry about you. Now, what is the devil? The devil is our adversary by the word of God. The devil would like for you to die and go to hell. The devil, and now listen, there is a wrestling match. There is a struggle. There is a contest. There is an agonizing. And that agonizing goes on in the mind of men and women, and the word of God comes. And I'd like to say it like this. If the word of God comes with spirit and power, then there's a work of God going on in the heart, but the mind tries to overrule what God says to the heart. In our mind, there the devil says, well, you've already had an experience. You've already, and listen, maybe you've had a bad experience. Maybe you've been to the altar, and you know what? Maybe you've been 2 times, or you've been 3 times, or however many times you've been. And you know what? Tonight, you're still in that same condition. Tonight, you're still lost and undone. Tonight, there's still a battle, a friend, going on in the heart and in the mind. And when the Holy Spirit of God comes by and says you need to be saved, the devil says you've already had an experience. And whether it's a good experience or a bad experience, the devil says there is no use for you to go again. You might as well forget about that. It's not going to be any different this time. But know this, ladies and gentlemen, it is a great battle. And let me tell you this, if this battle is won by the devil in your mind, you will eternally be separated from God in the regions of the damned. This is a serious thing. To think that there is such a battle going on. And if God, and I'm not saying God's not powerful enough. I'm not saying God's not able. I'm saying that Jesus said for you to strive. Did He not? Did He not tell you to wrestle? So let's think about that for a minute. Do I know my enemy? Do I know my opponent? A week, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, the Super Bowl. Friend, can you think this? Can you think that both of those teams no doubt watch multiple videos of the other team as they played, and they saw their weakness, they saw their strength, they saw where their defense was weakened, they saw what offense they might use. I ask you tonight, do you know your opponent? Do you know the devil? Do you know this, friend? Do you know that the devil is going to pull out every trick that he knows on you? Do you know that the devil is your opponent? And you know what he's going to do? I tell you what he wants to do. He just wants to wear you out. It's not that he has to pin you. It's not that he has to make some wicked, ungodly, wretched, vile sinner out of you. If he can just run the clock out on you, he's going to win. If I'm wrestling, you know I got to stay in bounds, right? If I'm going to score any points, I got to score points while the clock's running. When the clock runs out, ladies and gentlemen, it's over. If the devil runs the clock out on you, that's all he cares about. Let's just wait. Let's just wait. Let's wait another service. Let's wait another time. Let's wait till we're having a revival. Let's wait. Let's wait for another preacher. Let's wait for another service. Let's wait another time. You know, I really don't feel I tell you. Do you know your opponent tonight? Do you know your adversary tonight? Do you know in your own mind? Can you not see the workings of the devil that's going on in your mind tonight? You better wrestle. You better agonize with everything in you. You better agonize with everything in you to overcome your opponent tonight. So your opponent, you know, your opponent may be religion. You know what this group of people is going to say? This group of people is going to say, you know, Lord, we know you. I mean, you've been right in our streets. We've heard your sermons. We've heard you speak. We've heard your voice. You know what he says? I don't know you. So by association, are we in? Are they in by association? Because they're gathered with a crowd? Because the Lord come by and spoke and they heard it? Are they in? No, I tell you, that didn't get them in. There was some agonizing and there was some striving and there was some wrestling, and that was having to go on, friend, and it had to go on before the devil runs the clock out. So, what about our religion? I'm in. I'm in. What about the flesh? What about the flesh? You know what the flesh says? No need for you to wrestle tonight. No need for you to agonize tonight. No need for you to go over this tonight. I mean, just think now. The desire of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the desire. You know what? I don't want to be embarrassed tonight. I don't want to have to go up there in front of all of those people. I've already been up there. I mean, look how long that I've been hearing. Look how long that I've been in church. Look how long that I've been here. Look how many times that I've been to the altar. Look how many professions that I've made. You know what the devil wants to do? He just wants you to go with that because of the desire of your flesh. And that's the honest to God truth. People are worried about what somebody else is going to think, what somebody else would think, what they would look like coming, what they would look like bound, what they would look like. And the devil says, listen, you've been there. You're not going to get anything this time either.
It's going on in the mind, isn't it? That goes on in the mind, doesn't it?
He runs the clock out on you tonight. This service. He runs the clock out on you tonight. You lose. What do you lose? The match? Oh, I tell you, friend, this is single elimination. You lose. You're out. Out of what? Out of church? Oh, no. Oh, no, you're out of heaven. You're out of the kingdom. You're out of the favor of God. You're out of the light. You're out in darkness. You're into outer darkness. You're into the region of the damned. Friend, you're away from God. You're away from the spirits. You're away from the power. You're away from the family. You're separated. I tell you this. This is a one-on-one wrestling match. And it's up to you. You will have to wrestle. It's not up to you and your sister or you and your brother or you and your family or you in this church. It's up to you. You answer to God. You strive. You wrestle. You agonize. Strive to enter. To enter in at the straight gate. So strive. What does that mean? Strive, so wrestle, agonize. How should I strive? I tell you what I ought to do. I ought to agonize in my mind and in my heart. Have I ever prayed?
Have I ever really come clean with God? Have I ever been honest with God? Have I ever told God what a sinner that I really am? Have I ever put my complete in faith, a trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? No, I tell you what we've done. How we've trusted in what we've done and what Jesus has done. That's the way it is. People say, oh, I trust in Jesus, and you trust in what you've done. I'll tell you, you're going to have to lay that aside. You're going to have to get rid. And you know what it's going to be? It's going to be a battle for you to lay aside and depend on what they sung. Jesus paid it all. That wrestling's going on right now, isn't it? In your mind and in your heart, I'm giving you the Word of God. The Word of God says there is no other. There is none other name under heaven given whereby we must be saved other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what that is? That's a great wrestling with people. That's a great agonizing with people. People agonize over that. A friend of faith that I won't have anything. No ma'am and no sir. You may be strong. You may be moral. You may be pretty. You may be faithful. You may be handsome. You may be all of these things. You may be religious. You may be faithful. And I say today, you are lost. Agonize with that. Wrestle with that. The devil, all he has to do is run the clock out on you. He don't have to pin you. You don't have to be an adulterer. You don't have to be a drunk. You don't have to be a drug dealer. You don't have to cheat on your wife. You don't have to cheat on your husband. All he has to do is run the clock out on you and the condition you're in right now, and you have lost. We better agonize with that. We better strive with that. So as you read these verses, read this verse with me. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. So as you think about that, that word means narrow. But here's another meaning. Closely defined path. I would say this. It's a narrow opportunity. A closely defined opportunity. Who decides when the gate's open for you to get in? God opens the gate. Almighty God opens the gate. And we could say this, Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the door. But I remember now what he's saying. There's a pile of people going to want to get in. But they're going to want to get in after the door's shut. Right? So strive to enter in at the narrow, the defined opportunity, the narrow defined gate, the narrow window of time. When shall we get in? Isaiah wrote this. He said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Let me ask you this. Do you think Job was a righteous man? Do you know that Job, a righteous man, could not find God? Do you know that Job, a righteous man who eschewed evil, a man who was just, a man who was suffering, in my thinking, No more suffering by anyone, even in league, except for the servant Paul and the Lord Jesus Christ. Job was suffering and God hid himself from Job. How can you, a lost person, think that God is going to allow you some big, wide opportunity if Job couldn't find God? Out to you, Isaiah said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. If God's coming by tonight, I'll just say it like this. If the devil showed up and all of that agonizing is going on in your mind, know this, the Lord's here. The Lord's here. If there's a wrestling going on in your mind tonight about your previous experience, about your fear of what people will think, about your desire not to be embarrassed, about your trip to the altar, about all of that, as you agonize with that and as you have to go over that in your mind and you worry about what everybody's going to think, know this, that God may very well be opening that little door of opportunity for you. Will you seek the Lord? Does He have to make Himself available for you to find Him? I believe He does. I mean, if Job, a righteous, a good man, an upright man that escheweth evil, a man that sought after God, a man that is suffering under the hand of the devil, and he could not find the Lord. If God would show you that little window, that little narrow, defined opportunity, you better strive to get in there. The devil says, not tonight. You'll have another time. Who says you'll have another time? Who said you would have another time? Who told you that you would have another opportunity? Do you know that the devil's a liar, don't you? Do you know that he is your adversary? Do you know that he wants to keep you? Do you know that if he's got you down, he wants to keep you from getting over there to the out of bounds where you can start over again? Do you know this, friend, that if he can just keep you, a friend, from scoring any points, a friend, all he's got to do is run the clock out on you and hell bound you are. You got a little bitty, I mean a little bitty opportunity. Paul said this to the Corinthians. Paul says, we then as workers together with him. And I feel that way tonight. We then, me. We then as workers together with him. Who is him? God Almighty. The Lord Jesus, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. That word succored means to help. In the day, listen to this now, in the time accepted I, and the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now. Now is the... Let me ask you this. How long is now? How big of a window is now? How big of a window? How narrow is the gate now? If we're going to strive and we're going to wrestle and we're going to be saved, and I, by the word of God, the Lord Jesus said, if you don't strive, if you don't strive, if you don't agonize, if you don't wrestle against your opponent, you're going to be beaten. How wide is the window now? Well, you can blow it off, I guess. For he saith, God said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. You know the only reason that you would call on God? Because he's helping you. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Can you see? Can you see this? If I wait another minute, if I wait another 30 minutes, if I wait another service, if I wait then, is the Lord going to help me? Are you a match for the devil? So if the Lord doesn't help you, is there any hope of you ever being saved? But he says for us to strive. Where's that wrestling?
I, honest to God, I believe it's in the mind. I do. I believe there's where the devil lies. There's where the devil plays. There's where the devil brings up all of our emotions and all of our thoughts and all of our desires and what we're afraid of and the people we're afraid of. And he brings in the doubt and he brings up our past experience and he brings all of that into the equation. And he said, there's no use. But the Lord is helping you. While the Lord is helping us, while the Lord may be found, seek Him. Right? That's what He says. That's what He says. So listen. Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once, the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door. Who's the master of the house? Who's got the key of David? Jesus Christ. So if the Lord gets up and shuts the door, when God shut the door on the ark, was there anyone else that got in? So if God shuts the door, now listen, here's the door that's going shut. The door of opportunity. The door for you to get in. The door for you to come through. The door that leads into everlasting life. Or if you're going to get in, you're going to have to come through. And Jesus said, I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the door. He's the good shepherd. He's the truth and the way. And as Joseph read there in John chapter 14, he said right down below that, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If he shuts the door, is there any opportunity for you to get in if he gets up and shuts the door? For many, listen now. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in. Why don't we just stop right there? That's good, ain't it? Many will seek to enter in. Is that you tonight? Would you seek to enter in tonight? Would you strive to enter in tonight? Would you agonize? Would you do battle with the devil tonight to believe God? Would you put down those imaginations? Would you quieten those voices that are in your head that are against the Word of God? Would you tell the devil he's a liar? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Now is the day of salvation. So many are going to seek to enter in. You know, I don't know how you could say it. No way to prove it. But logically in my mind, I can see fingernail prints all over the ark. I can see claw marks all over the ark. But it's too late. When the Lord gets up and shuts to the door, the battle's over, folks. The devil won, and people are headed to hell. Now you might say, well, you know, I'm not in hell. Are you on your way to hell? If you're not saved, you're on your way to hell. If you're not saved, you're condemned already. If you're not saved tonight, then you are on your way to hell right now. And many, the Bible says, and many shall seek to enter in. But I wish we could leave it right there. I wish we could leave it there that many many, when the Lord shall, Master shall rise up and shut to the door, many, many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able when the master of the house is risen up and is shut to the door. And ye, you know who he's talking to? He's talking to you. He's talking to an individual. And ye are on the outside. You remember the parable over in the 25th chapter of Matthew about the 10 virgins? You remember when the bridegroom come at midnight? At midnight, the bridegroom came and invited everybody to come in to the wedding banquet. You know what's on the outside? Darkness. There's no light out there. Everybody that had a light went in. And those that did not have a light was left on the outside. And they never got in. Listen to this word. Listen to these words. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he shall answer and say, I know not whence you are. Why is he saying this? Now let's think about the word know right here for a minute. Though it might be controversial, I ask you, does he know everyone? Did he know those that he didn't? No. What is he saying there? Does he know everyone? Does he know the whole world? Does he know every man? And does he know the hairs, the number of the hairs on your head and got them numbered? Does he know the whole world? Well, how in the world can he say, I don't know you, if he knows everybody and knows everything? There must be another sense of the word no here, isn't there? There must be something about this word no that these people that are on the outside, these people that have never striven, these people that have never come in, there must be something about the word no about them that is not the same as those that are on the inside. You're not in my family. We have no intimate relationship. I don't know you the way I know my children and my family. Does he know them? He knows they're lost. He knows they've not striven. He knows that they are workers of iniquity. He knows they are workers and they are doers of lies. He knows they're believers of lies. He knows that their father is the father of lies. He knows all about them, but yet he says, I don't know you. We better get the right context, hadn't we? What's missing? What's missing? Let's look at these people for a moment. When once the master has risen up, shut to the door, and has shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and say, Lord, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. If he was their Lord, they would be on the inside. If he was their Lord, he would have been the Lord that was leading. He would have been the Lord that was leading through the Word of God. He would have been the Lord that was the Lord over their lives through the Spirit. He would have been the Lord of their lives through grace.
He would have been the Lord that saved them and made a new creature out of them and brought them on the inside. They wouldn't be surprised by this day. He would have been the Lord. He's not the Lord. They call him Lord. What does he call them? What does he call them? I know not whence you are. They begin to say, you have eaten and drunk. We have eaten and drunk in thy presence. How privileged. How privileged are you to sit under the gospel? How privileged are you to have the word of God? How privileged are you to have the word of God? I mean right down to the nitty gritty. How privileged are you not to have easy believism and have to have the word of God rightly divided, that you have to have a life and have to have the Holy Spirit and have to be led and have to acclaim under the grace of God only for salvation? How privileged are you to have a gospel like that? They had that. We've eaten and we've drunk in your presence. Why are they on the outside then? This is what the Bible says. You know what this does? It brings more condemnation. We've eaten and drunk in your presence, Lord. Isn't it amazing when the door is shut, he's Lord then. When the opportunity is over, he's Lord then, isn't he? What about tonight? Is he Lord tonight? I ask you this, that wrestling that's going on, that agonizing that's going on, that battle that's going on between the Word of God, I'm calling you out just exactly like it is, and the devil saying, no, you don't need to do that. I ask you tonight, who's the Lord? Is the devil the Lord, or is the Lord Jesus Christ the Lord? Who's the Lord tonight? Lord, open unto us. Lord, Lord, open unto us. I don't know who you are. I don't know whence you are. You are not of my family. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. I tell you what they're doing. They're heaping coals on their own heads. I've sat under the gospel. I've been in the church. I've sat around the people that knew you. I've been around them, and I've been right there when the Spirit and the power of God was there. I've been there when the preacher called me out. I've been there when the Holy Ghost and the grace of God fluttered around my heart. I've been there when God Almighty was dealing with me. And the wrestling, you know what we did? We gave in to the devil. Run the clock out on us. And now when the door is shut, where are we? We're on the outside. I tell you this, folks, there's no light on the outside. No. You just ponder just a second. If there is no power on Spring Creek tonight, there is no light outside those doors. You agree? If it's dark nights without power, no light, the power is inside. They're on the outside. You know where they are? They're abiding in darkness and in death. They are headed to hell. Lord, open unto us. Then you will begin to say, we've eaten and drunk in thy presence. Thou hast taught in our streets. What about that? How many times have they heard the words, come? How many times have they heard the word, I have mercy. How many times have they heard the words, come and be saved? Come unto me, all you that are weak and heavy laden. Come while there's opportunity. Come while the door is open. Come before the clock runs out. How many times have they heard that? And what are they going to hear? What are they going to hear from the Lord? They're going to hear this. They're going to hear, away from me. Away from me, you workers of iniquity. Away from you, you workers of lies. Away from you, you children of the Father of lies. Away, get away from me. Hundreds probably of times they've heard the call of grace and mercy. And they're going to hear the most horrifying words ever. Away from me, you workers of lawlessness and lies. Preacher, there'll be another opportunity. I ask you this. Would you show it to me in this scripture right here? Would you show me another opportunity? And I'll believe it. I tell you, I know not whence you are. Depart away. Get away. Be gone. All you workers of iniquity, you workers of lies, you children of the liar, the father of lies. You know, you might think that's harsh, but Jesus said, Abraham's not your father. If Abraham was your father, you'd do the works of Abraham. Your father is the devil. And his will you do. You see who the Lord is tonight? You see who the Lord of the unbeliever is tonight? Who the Lord of the one that does not strive? Who the Lord of the one that will not agonize as God? And that agonizing is going on in here, between the heart and the mind, between God Almighty through His Word and the Holy Ghost, giving us a word that deals with our heart and in our mind. The devil says, no! Know this, he's a liar and a murderer from the beginning. Destruction and hell are in his path. I say, I tell you, I know not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know that little phrase right there? 6 times in the book of Matthew, that phrase is used. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I ask you this. Maybe ladies as well. Probably ladies even more so if you've got children. You ever gritted your teeth? Men, you ever been in a bind? I mean hurting, and you were gritting your teeth. Pain. 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 Such pain that there is the gnashing of the teeth and weeping. What kind of weeping? Oh my God, the weeping to remember that we have eaten. The weeping to remember that He's preached in our street. The weeping to remember that He called. The weeping to remember. Oh son, remember, remember, remember how many times God has opened the door of opportunity. Remember if there's a little opportunity tonight. If God has given a little window tonight. Know this, you will remember. Amen. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you shall see, you talk about terrible. It won't just be Jacob.
and Abraham and Isaac. The rich man could see the beggar. You're lost tonight. You got a mother, a daddy, a son, a daughter, a grandchild that's going to heaven. You're going to see them enter, and you're going to be on the outside. You're going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You're going to be eternally separated. The Bible said they saw him. They saw Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You know who they were? They were their natural kin. So is our natural kin going to get us in? Is our association going to get us in? I don't remember if it says it here or if it only says it in Matthew. I believe it says it here too. Let me read a scripture out of Matthew. I'd like for you to just see how close that this is. This is in Matthew chapter 8, verse 11. "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west," and in Luke he says from the north and the south, "and sit down in the kingdom of God." Matthew. "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, why does he say that the children of the kingdom shall be cast out? That sounds like a contradiction. No, I tell you, we're going to have to get it right again. The children of the kingdom is the natural kingdom versus the spiritual kingdom. These people were associated with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the prophets, and they were thrust out. And he said in Matthew, "And the children of the kingdom shall be thrust out." Now let's just think and bring that down to today. Who would you say, if we had it in the same, if we had it in the same parameters, who would the children of the kingdom be today? So we know this, that the children of the kingdom that are actually going to heaven are those that are born again of the Word and of the Spirit.
Right.
But that other group, the children of the kingdom that are cast out, who are they? They're the natural church. We've got all the right associations, but we have nothing in our heart. We have no spiritual birth. It looks like we ought to be in. It looks like we know Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. It looks like that, naturally speaking, it looks like that we should for sure be going to heaven. But the children of the kingdom are going to be thrust out. You see, it's not the natural Israel. It's not the natural church. It's not the natural family. We'll have to be born again by the implanting of the Word and the Holy Spirit in our lives if we're going to get into this kingdom. It'll be by grace and faith. And you know what it'll be? You talk about a wrestling match. If you get saved, it'll be a wrestling match. It won't be you against me. No, I tell you what, it'll be you against you. It'll be the Holy Spirit and the Word of God dealing with your heart and the devil in your mind, and you reasoning and wrestling with that. and if you don't agonize,